Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's take our declaration of understanding. I want to study the Word of God as part of our prayer today.
Now I declare
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you are sure, say another amen.
Amen.
If you are in doubt, say, I don't know. Okay, everybody is blessed. All right, so let's take one more time. Give me another amen.
Amen.
All right, that sounds very convincing. The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Now, my initial plan, I'll push it a bit further down. We may get into that plan. All right? Towards the end, but as I was about to come, I just felt there's something I should share with us. And I called it, do I have a name for it? Now, we've been meditating on the subject of, what is the subject now? Total health and then faithful vitality in old age. Vitality in old age, two things there, total health. And what? Vitality in old age. All right. So for health and for vitality in old age. Two, though very related subjects, but I kind of separated them. One of the things I explained is that old age is not a disease. What did I say?
Old age is not a disease.
It's not a disease. Don't use it to explain things. You can't climb this flight of stairs. Don't say, you know, I'm old. Say, I'm not feeling well. I like the way some of you laughed. It sounds so ungodly, like, excuse me. Just say, I'm not feeling well. Most of the people that say they are old, if you go and check, they are 62. You can't climb two flights of stairs. You say, you are old. 62 is not so old not to be able to climb two flights of stairs. All right? It's not so old. 70 is not that old. 85 is not that old. Just look at your former president, our former president in Nigeria. If you say you have only a program here, you think he can't climb up here? You know what I'm talking about? He said he go run, yes. You know that man, he will run. And how old is he? 85? Huh? Anyway, he's in his late 80s, mid to late 80s. And he's not the only one. What I just want to say is stop using it as an excuse. Just say, what? I'm not feeling well. I've not run in a long time. I need to catch my breath. Let me exercise myself. My lungs are... find another excuse. Don't put age. Because once you do, that thing is a spirit. You know what he does? First, it starts with the lungs. It will move to the heart. It will move to the kidneys. After a while, you know, I'm dead because of my age. Do you get me? For every part of the body, we fail. Don't use it as what? An excuse. I'm talking to Christians. I'm not talking statistics. You are not a statistical figure. What did I say? Say, what did I say? Yeah, you are a child of God. Say it.
I am a child.
Say it again.
I am a child of God.
Which means that things happen to you according to what He prepared. I hope you're getting my point. You are not a statistical figure. I use some of these people as examples to show you that some things are not even strange. The man I said was running marathon. I've forgotten the age now, but he was retiring in his 80s because, yes, I remember, because his wife died when he was in his 70s, that's when he started marathon. to battle depression because he was so sad that he lost his wife. So he ran marathon for like 10 years. So I think if I remember well, it's been a while since I read his story. He was in his 80s when he was stopping. He was running one last race. So it's not as if he was too tired. He was running the race, saying this is the last one. That's what I'm just trying to say to us. Just know what is possible. So you know that if God can do that for somebody else, he can double do it for somebody who believes his word. And that's what I'm saying. Let's stretch our faith. Please go and read this tract. I wrote that thing long ago, over 20 years now. It's one of those first things we put together for Kingdom World Ministries. Dare to believe. Please go and download it. If you are joining us online, just go to the website. Dare to believe. That is the name of the tract. Download it. You need to stretch. What did I say? Say it again. Yeah, you need to stretch. Stretch your faith. Believe God for something. Hope for something. Expect something good concerning your life. I hope you're getting my point. You expect something different. Look in the mirror and tell yourself, I am not the average man on the road. I'm not an average person. I'm somebody who the Lord knows and called by name. After all, you are not in Enugu because you want to be in Enugu. You are in Enugu because he said, be there. I can tell you about my life. That's what happened to me. I wasn't born here. I immigrated. I jakwa'd to, you know what they call jakwa? Some people don't know the meaning of jakwa. Jakwa means to, okay, it doesn't work really. Jakwa is escape. So I didn't escape. I traveled. I came on assignment. I just migrated on assignment. That is the reason why I'm in Enugu. I'm a child of God. I'm a man of purpose. And I'm not talking about me alone. I'm just giving you as an example. You are a child of God. You are a person of purpose. You see, if somebody makes a vehicle to take maybe 10 children in the city from their homes in a nice area to their school in an equally nice area on smooth roads, and the children are like 10 to 20, how many would it, what kind of capacity would the vehicle have? How many people can it sit? What kind of vehicle will it be? Just give me a word. A bus, thank you. To be a bus. To not be a car. It will be what? A bus. Now I want to ask you, will it have very strong shock absorbers? Who knows? They won't bother. They won't bother. Smooth roads, children, from here. Where is it going? They just have normal shock absorbers. It's not they won't bother. Will it be air conditioned? It will be. It will be air conditioned. All right? Good. But let's assume that vehicle, that is making a vehicle, is not making it for this purpose. It's making it for going on rough roads to distant areas, carrying men, you know, strong men and their tools. And they are going to, and they go to rough areas on tarred road, rugged terrain. Now, please, what kind of vehicle do you think fellow will make? What kind of vehicle? A truck. A four-wheeler. I mean, a four-wheel drive. Shock absorbers. Now, suspension, how high will it be? It will be high enough for a human being to walk on that. Big tires. Shock absorbers. My Father in heaven. Strong. Springs. Hard. All kinds of things. This one. What am I saying? The person who sent the vehicle on errand will equip it for its purpose. That's what I'm saying about all these things. He will equip it for his purpose. If you are alive according to his will, then he has the responsibility of fitting you with what is necessary to survive and thrive in the environment where you are. I hope you're getting my point. Some people say that there's a ozone layer is weak. So, now it's not the current trend now. So, radiation is going to kill you. You say, not me. Because the person who sent me here must have equipped me for that one. He knows I'm on a rough road. You get what I'm saying? Maybe people like me, when there were no ozone layer problems, would not have had the kind of thing that God would have to build into my system to handle the challenges of today. Please follow me. You are a person of purpose. You are born deliberately. You are kept deliberately. You are fitted for a particular purpose. You are an assignment from God. The only problem you will have is if you don't go regularly for servicing. Did you catch what I said?
Yes, sir.
He made the vehicle. You have to go for servicing. When you go for servicing, he will drain the oil. He will fill you with fuel, you know, fresh engine oil. Put good fuel, change the fluids, the hydraulic. Make sure everything is okay. Do you know where he does that usually? Who can tell me where he does that usually? Yes. Thank you. Church. When you come for fellowship, where the brethren gather. Please, make sure you go to church. What did I say?
Make sure you go to church.
Now, when I say church, now I don't mean a building. I mean where brethren gather, where the word of God is taught, where people sing and praise together, where they pray together. It's crucial. That's the servicing station. Some people, their oil is black. They are working for God, though. But the oil don't turn to, you know what they call a doo-doo? Do you know what is that? You have to learn it. You have to go and pray and interpret the tongues. The engine oil, you pour it like this, it's black. It's old. You know why? They are Christians. They've not been in fellowship for a long time. And you know, they are good Christians though, but they've been driving rough. Nobody has told them recently, slow down. That's not how you are supposed to drive. Their headlamps are broken. They can't function at night anymore. You know what? They've not gone for servicing. That's why they are malfunctioning. You see it in a moment. We're going to look at it. That's why people are what? Malfunctioning. Some people have not even allowed any mechanic to check their engine. You see in a moment, he said, confess your faults one to another. Nobody can talk to them. To them, bro, this, come on. I know what God told me. Only him leads by himself, no correction, nothing. They don't go for servicing. So they break down regularly. And they should. And in fact, breakdown is good for them. You know why? Because one day they are going to break down. So we have to tow them. We will have to service them by force. Who wants to be told here? Those of you who are here, you don't need to be told because you have come for servicing by yourself. You went to church on Sunday for servicing. You have been serviced. You know, I'm looking at you, your oil is fresh. I like the way you said amen. Well lubricated. That's what happens when you go regularly for, you know, yeah, for checkup, for, you know, for to the mechanic shop, to the filling station. Yeah, that's a good word. Each time you hear the word, you are filled again. I used to do something, well, I mean, like, it's one of the things I do once in a while. There are times I want to pray about something. An issue comes up. You just don't go and pray. You know what you do? You go and listen to something. I'm telling you. You know what it does? It literally, you know, I don't know whether you ever felt it before. You just feel the faith boosted. The faith rises. It rises. Sometimes that's why we delay praying. You can pray any moment, but there are times, this matter, before I pray about it, give me that book. Let me read those two messages. Now, let me take a small aside. That's what they call fasting. What do I call it?
Fasting.
Christian fasting has nothing to do with hunger. Really? Jenna, do you think God checks your stomach before he hears your words? Think about it. Let's just think about it for a moment. So Bina wants to pray. Angels, check. What's the load inside his stomach? I said, dear Lord, this man chop on the yam. I said, tell him that he's not ready to pray. No, he doesn't do that. The only thing that affects it is faith. And faith is the volume of your voice spiritually. Do you get my point? If you like, shout loud. Like, you know who shouted the most in the Bible to be heard? And they were not heard. Not a Christian. So because you'll be thinking about blind Bartimaeus now. Eh? The prophets of Baal. Those ones did not only shout loud, they shouted long. You know, there's loud shouting and there's long shouting. They shouted long and loud. Long, loud shouting, loud, long shouting. In fact, if those guys looked at Elijah, they just did like this. Because Elijah said, Shout more now. He said, maybe your God is asleep. That Elijah, when those prophets of Baal catch him, they should do him a strong thing. Elijah said, shout some more. He said, maybe Bobo is asleep. Or he's on a journey so that he will come back. He said, press pause. We'll go collect megaphone from 4,000 years later. Let's go and import megaphone to come back. And those guys actually believed him. They shouted some more. He said, I can't hear you. Then they shouted some more. Where they heard? Nothing. Physical volume has nothing to do with the power you have in the spirit. When Jesus was praying about Lazarus, go and check it. The Bible says he groaned within himself. And he got the power of God to reverse the composition of all this and bring the soul of that man back. What's the name of this woman? Hannah. Hannah first ate and drank. All right? And then went to pray. And only her lips moved. Her voice was not heard. No volume. She looked like, what is going on there? So Eli thought she was drunk. Why are you misbehaving? She said, no, I'm not drunk. But you know, in the spirit, she was loud. That's one thing we have to bear in mind. Which is it revolution, I'll call it, of loud praying, shouting. I saw a man the other day. I saw him. He came to greet me. Sir, long time. He told me where we met. What a long time. You know, I said, this is the denomination I pastor for. I said, come. I hope you guys are planning to do this pastor work for a long time. He said, what do you mean? I said, the way your voice is being used, it can't last long. I said, don't tell me it's anointing. I said, this voice you guys are using will not last long. I said, go and tell your boss. Tell him I said, he has to modulate that voice. Otherwise, it will not last. We just create unnecessary habits. They are not evil. When they used to correct us and say, wait, why do you guys shout so much? They said to us, God is not deaf. Instead of us to just acknowledge that God is not deaf, that we just like to shout. I hope you get my point. Say, we just like to shout. Shouting makes us feel happy. It is a fact now. But don't argue that, God is not complaining. I don't think it's right. Because this is not the normal way of making requests. Two things. One, it's not the normal way of making requests of anybody. Unless the person is far away or hard of hearing. Two things that God is not. Number two, it's not how you exercise authority. The louder you shout, the less the authority you have. You know. So we got up and created a bad habit. That when we pray, we make so much noise. I know it's not a sin, but it's an unnecessary habit. What did I call it? An unnecessary habit. It's pointless. What is loud in the realm of the spirit is what I want to tell you. That's why I'm saying all of these things. It's when faith infuses a word and you just say, Lazarus, come forth. Shouting doesn't matter. Lazarus is dead. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You can't motivate him because of motivational shout. That word has to contain life. If it contains life, he will rise up. He will hear it. The word will lift him and drop him at the door. You are getting what I'm saying? So, back to the reason why I went to do that. Sometimes to pray, what you do is you go and charge up faith. And this is how you charge faith up. Personal experience. I go and look for a particular message that I've listened to before that I know it contains that thing. I go and listen to it. Sometimes I just read a book containing testimonies. Maybe, like for example, I want to pray about healing. All right? You're sick. Your child is sick. Your wife is sick. Your husband is sick. A loved one is sick. So you want to pray. All right? Now, can I just say this? Again, something you have heard me say 10 times. Before you run to hospital, what do? Pray. Don't ever forget it. Before you buy medicine, what do? I'm not saying medicine is against the will of God. I just say don't buy it until you have prayed. Pray first. Buy it later. I hope you're getting my point. In an emergency, don't rush out of the house. Rush into prayer. He fell down. Hey, neighbors, help me, help me, help me. Open gate. And God is looking at himself. I must be very invisible in this place. At least just kneel down there over the young boy who collapsed and say, dear Lord, have mercy. Help us. Then go to, if he gets up, sneezes, and say, mommy, I don't even know what happened. Thank God for it. If he doesn't get up and he says, let's continue to go to hospital, continue to pray and say, Lord, whoever you will use, use him. But please, have mercy. When the son of that Shunammite woman died, she went and laid him on the bed of the prophet and went and called the prophet. And that's what she did. You want to know why the boy died? Every day she's looking at the boy and say, are you real? That the boy got tired. He just fell sick and died. Is it in your Bible? Yes, it's there. Obina, it's there. You've not read that portion. You have not. I need to give you a new Bible. See, what was the first thing she said to Elisha when she met Elisha? Tell me, what did she say? I didn't hear you. I told you not to lie to me. A boy that's big enough to follow the father to the farm. She was still remembering that I told you not to lie. What does that tell you? She didn't believe that's another way. That boy will go to nursery school. She'll be at home. Ask your son, which son? He said, you went to school now. Oh, sorry. He came back. Oh, you are my son? You are. Well, hello, you are welcome. Then she was getting used to seeing the boy in the house. She still did not believe. So the day he died, she said, hey. How do they say it in English? I said it. Oh, no, more accurately. I knew it. I knew it. How just born begin like that? After having the doctor said, don't mind this prophet. She went to the prophet and said, I told you not to lie to me. Now, this is my own understanding. So when that's why it was so hard. How many times did Elisha pray? Was it not three times? Please check it. I think it's three times. Now, this time around, remember that the woman with the issue of blood? What did she touch? The hem of the garment. This one, the prophet laid all the anointing possible in his body. He stretched out. The guy grew. He laid complete. This boy, if you don't wake up, what are you going to do? You? The guy used all the effort in his spirit to pull that guy back to life. The boy now sneezed. He woke up. He said, lie down there. Normally, he said, no. You know, the Bible says that Jesus took the child and gave to the parents. He said, no, you lie down there. The boy said, don't get up. Uncle, why? I said, lie down there. He now told the mother, go in and take him by yourself. No, read your scriptures. Everything I'm telling you is inside. Apart from the lie down there. That one is not there. I mean, he said to the woman, go in this time around, take him by yourself. Last time I forced him on you. Then I believe that the boy lived. That's a small aside. Yeah. The point I'm making is that pray first. It's not rush to hospital first. What do? You pray first. You pray. If God says leave, the person will leave. There have been people who died. Everybody left them alone. Their loved ones prayed. And the doctors had given up. They were doing what they had to do. In fact, this man, I think it was Andrew Marks that did the story about, is it his son or his brother or his father, something like that. They had left the man. I think he had a heart attack. I can't remember the story now. They had left him dead for like 40 minutes and suddenly he got up. The nurse almost died in his place. Doctor had certified somebody that they left him, covered the body, waiting to move. I think I didn't move him to the morgue. Then the guy just got up. Or they were getting to dressing him up. The guy just got up all of a sudden. They almost replaced him with the nurse. Almost killed the nurse with a heart attack. It happens, really. People who died recently, suddenly they come back to life. Why? Because somebody begged God. And it's one of the things I'm going to talk about today. God helping me. It's important somebody wants your life. It's very important. See, this life is full of spiritual forces. They are all working, sometimes opposing each other, sometimes working together, crisscrossing. How many people did physics? You remember what they call resultant force? Do you remember what they call resultant force? Some of you, you know, you ran away from class that time. You see, it's catching up with you when you come to my Bible study. All those of you that dodged math classes, physics classes especially, those two, all of you that were dodging, see, can you see where you ended now? There's a select subject. You dropped physics. You almost dropped math. Well, you know that it was compulsory. Some of them dropped math. I'm telling you. It was anyway, time to register for, like, the principal said, what is this? He said, I don't need math. This life is full of spiritual forces. You know, that's what they call resultant force in physics. They'll teach you. You'll have remembered it. Resolution of forces. So at the end of the day, what happens finally? Many things are put together. And one of them is that somebody actually wants you alive. A loved one actually wants you alive. You'll see later, we'll read the scriptures. Paul gave two reasons. I used to think it was one. Just a few weeks ago, I realized that there were two. Two things that made him sure he will survive, he will live. Because he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die, that is his function for Christ, and to die is gain. He said, personally, I'd rather depart and be with the Lord, which he said is what? Is far better. But he now realized that if I stay, my presence will be a blessing to your faith. He said, so I know I'm going to stay. He said, because of your prayer, how did he say, and the supply of the Spirit. So I realized that those people were praying for him to live. Paul didn't care personally whether he lived or died. Go and read it. He didn't care. He said, in fact, he cared. He preferred, if they say, okay, Apostle Paul, left to you, what are you going to do? He will look at you and say, this earth, do you want to stay here too? You know, some of us are very comfortable. That's why we don't want to go anywhere. You drive a G-Class. You understand? We bought it very, very recent. Nice. Live in a nice part of town. You know, there's band A. There's band, personal band. Power is constant. Power not the commode. You have never been broke in your life. Anything you want, you have. So you say to yourself, is this not heaven? You go to a church you love, your pastor loves you, you love your pastor, you love your church. Your wife loves you, your children are good children. When you are going on the road, policemen will salute you. Honestly, in your neighborhood, everybody loves you. You park your car outside by mistake, boys will come and wash it. Hey, and that's it. To depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. Better than what? But you know, in Paul's case, when I don't flog with 39 lashes a number of times, you shipwreck. They say you go for ministry, you trek from here to Onitsha. You reach Onitsha, and they say crucify him. At the end of the day, I know how to abound, I know how to abase. Say, what are you abasing for? At the end, he says, to depart and be with the Lord, which is what? Far better. Many of us don't want to die. We are too comfortable. Comfort or no comfort. If you see the glory of heaven, you want to go. Yeah. It's not because of pain and suffering, really. We may be joking about that, that made Paul want to go. For those of us that I'm talking about, that's all we have ever seen. We've never seen comfort more than that inside a car, a well-air-conditioned bedroom. That's the only comfort we know. Now, if they give you a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of heaven, Father in heaven, if you see, if the light from the throne of God shines upon you for 5 seconds, you look at that, your car, it will feel like a prison. That your house will be like a torture chamber. I don't have a personal experience, but I've heard testimonies. I'm blessed that those who believe without seeing, based on the testimonies of people that I heard, they said, many people who die and God raises back to life, he has to wipe their memory, otherwise they can't survive here. Yeah. The person is leaving you. After a short while, he will leave you. There's no prayer I want to use to hold him back. God has to ensure that he doesn't have a picture of that heaven. So people like Paul, that's part of what their problem was. But what I'm talking about is that he wanted to leave, but do you know what? The prayer of the people pulled him back. I don't think Dorcas minded dying. You know Dorcas? Dorcas, see, people who have died, they don't mind dying. Christians that have died, don't mind dying. See, I'm talking about Christians. Unbelievers that have died, they want to come back. Yeah. If you just open the door a crack, they will shove it open. Them and demons will rush through it back onto the earth. I remember one book I read long ago. I read this book many years ago. I can't remember that was written. No, it wasn't written by a Christian. No, it's been a long, I remember the story, but I can't remember the book. This doctor is a very big man, all right? He's a big doctor. You know, this kind of people that are 6'2", 6'3" in height, and they have both muscle and fat. So he said, when he's doing a resuscitation for patients, that several times he has broken their ribs. Yeah, because of the force he uses. Bam! Because, well, don't blame him. He has to keep the heart pumping. He said there was one patient that had a heart attack that he was resuscitating. He said most patients don't even care. Like they are like, if you touch me there, you get that kind of attitude that they don't let me die. He said this patient was begging him, don't stop. That's why he described how hard his resuscitation can be. He said the patient was scared, was afraid. He kept, that is, the patient had finally begged to pray. He said he was not a preacher. He had to learn to pray. I can't remember. There's a book I think I read that thing in. I read it, nothing less than, it's getting over 35 years ago. I read this book when I was in university. It's been a long time. When unbelievers do that, if you open the door, the way they will race back onto this earth, even if he opens into Sambisa Forest, better. Just get me out of here. Get me out of here. Christians, on the other hand, they have been known. They are notorious for not wanting to come back. They are known. See, Christians have that reputation. Even when they were being persecuted, they said, you see their faces. There's a smile on it. It's like, and it's in the scriptures. You know what I'm saying? You know it's in the Bible too. What's the name of that? Stephen. They were stoning Stephen. He was saying, my God, see heaven. See heaven. They thought they were stoning him. The guy said, see heaven. Who wants to stay on this earth? This, let's not call it God-forsaken place. This is that God is just redeeming. He took a, he said, nah, but who threw the next stone, my guy? I have to go. Throw the next stone, I have to go. No, I've heard the stories that Christians are like that. They are so content. They are so content. They are happy. Death does not scare them. When it comes, fine. They're okay. You have to pray them to come back. Christians, no, it's the Spirit of Christ. When the Spirit of Christ is in you, he said, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I've gone to prepare a place for you. He said, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you so. Now, this is where I'm going. That place attracts. It pulls. It pulls. It's the attraction I'm talking about. So Christians, look, if a Christian dies, they like to stay dead. They are happy to resurrection. They're happy. It's you that, hey, what? They're looking at you like, what is this guy? What's all this noise about? They are crying. Say, dear Lord, can they visit me for like 2 minutes? You know what the Lord said? They won't go back. If I allow them visit you here, they too will not go back. Before I know, the whole church will be gone. He says, not yet rapture. Leave that in. Let them cry, they are crying. Let them go and take comfort in the scriptures. Why am I talking about that? Why did Paul say, I know I will stay? Not because there was anything to hold on to here. It was because of the prayer of the Philippians, the saints. It was because of the prayer of the saints. I'm dropping some of the things. Maybe I will itemize them at the end of the day. I've been dropping some of the things I wanted to share with us today. Bit by bit. It's important that people love you and they are praying for you. It's one of the keys to health and vitality. Don't be a wicked person. What did I say? Don't be a wicked person. Be nice. I'm telling you, be nice. Don't be so, you know, I only stand for what is right. I don't believe in, you know, kiniko. Hungry people cannot get your food to eat because it's not right to feed them. You are so righteous and straight that you cannot be called a good man. What they call a righteous man? In that context, now we're talking not in the context of God. A righteous man is that he follows every law. There's any car going at the... See, hey, by the way, both in Lasma and the MOT Enugu, others of you are going around hiding at traffic light to see who you go catch. Now your destiny you dey catch if you are not careful. There are times you want to look at people and say, I won't say God punish you. I won't say thunder fire you. But may the same measure with which you measure today be used to measure for everything in your life. If you can't say amen to that, then remove that your hook and let me go. No, I don't go. That is, I won't say thunder fire you. I will not say God punish you. I just say this measure you have used. It's in the scriptures. I will not discuss the Bible. He said, with the measure that you use, it shall be measured back to you. And even say more on top. You know what I'm saying? So, you know those traffic lights? They said, you know there's a line somewhere. They said her tire touched the light. Say the tire crossed the light. I said, excuse me. I didn't cross the traffic light. The traffic light is in front. He said, no, why did your tire roll over the light? That kind of tire, that's no problem. Any day you roll over wire, it will shock you. I just roll every because every day, you know, it is God's mercy that's keeping us. If you do that kind of work, let me tell you what you should do. Go there and tell the person, hello, please, you're not allowed to go beyond this line. Can you move back? That's how God blesses people. These are the things God will check when he wants to bless you. Say, no. The book says the line. God said, no problem. With the same measure you have measured this one, they don't line up for you. They don't line up for you. Your son's final exam, he will miss paying the exam by 1 minute. They will disqualify him for a year. Hey, God will say, hey, wait. Is it long? You're supposed to play before two. You say, but no, it's the server that was slow. They didn't say if the server is fast. They just said 12 midnight. It's the law. You will stay there like this. God that's showing you MOT and last man in your life. When they give you laws sometimes, you apply them like a human being. See, I don't care who's in charge. If they give you target to go and be hunting people, you are not a trapper. God hates people that behave like trappers. You hear the snare of a fowler. Tell whoever sent you an errand, Oga, I no be trapper. Don't go and hide behind. When the motor, just jump out of the bush. Now, so your... You see, you know, I want people not to do evil. Now, so all the evil you've done in your life, that's how judgment will jump out of the bush at you. You know what God said? He that has what shows what? Mercy shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You want to show yourself that you are not a merciful person. God is waiting for you in front. Don't be fine, they find people. When heaven finds you, hey, my father in heaven. Heavenly fine is paid with kidney, with liver, with eye, part of the brain. Heavenly fine. Why did I say all of this? So please, don't do so that people don't bless you in this life. Be nice. Be good. That's what I'm going to say. Don't be somebody that will just apply rules in such a manner that people will look at you and say, why are you this? You know those days, they don't exist anymore. We had this policeman in Nigeria. When they say, they want to read your chassis number. Say, is this S or 5? How many of you ever passed through that? Say, whether it's S. So, Oga, say, this is supposed to be S. Why is it 5 here? Human beings used to use hand to write that thing at licensing office. And how many digits? That thing will be like 40 digits. A mixture of, you know, they got alpha, numerical, everything. Some uppercase, lowercase, all kinds of things. So at the end of the day, they will miss one. I used to look and say, you know, I'm a doctor. There are normal values in life.
for sodium, potassium, glucose in your blood. If you go missing by 1 millimeter of mercury, I tell God to give you diabetes. So by 1 milligram percent, they say, the way we calculate it, by 100 mils. The way you are talking like this, smaller side. Dude, all those small, you may think it's a joke. God is counting it too. Doctors will write, normal value is from 1 to 5. Your own be 5.1, you will die. Why? He said, oh, one day one man wrote S. He said, you know the difference between S and 5. And he detained the man for 1 hour, 2 hours. God said, no problem. I go detain your blood sugar. Brethren, be a good person. Don't because of gain become evil. I see all these people, they give them small power. You know, they say Nigeria, our rulers. I said, wait, these boys with, what do you call that in the hood? That use a local style. Are they rulers? Yeah, they are our rulers. The worst human beings on this earth are the thugs. The local government enforcers. Who give temporary power for like 6 months. I'm telling you, don't be like that. See, some of the things I want to teach today, they are coming out already. If I've dropped two or three, and I've dropped one about being good, let people pray for you. I've mentioned it, okay? I'm going to, my plan was to itemize them. I just started talking and they are coming out one after the other. Because what we are talking about is faith for what? For health and vitality in old age. Yes. I'm just saying many things. So my plan today was just to read out some scriptures because it's very important we sow the right seeds. Let me now get back to where I wanted to start. I was just gisting and welcoming you. But let me now go back to the beginning. The Lord is good. There's a principle I want to set out for us before we get into the main thing I want to say. And that's the fact that most of the things you experience in life, they are fruits. And what God gives you is the opportunity to do what? Plant the right seeds. Now, today I want to talk about, and then we'll do some praying and declaring of the word of God. I want to talk about constant seeds for this health and old age vitality that we're talking about. You hear what I said? We're talking about what? The seed, the constant seed, yes, the word. Constancy, that seeds you sow constantly so that you can reap health and vitality. No, health generally. We're just talking about vitality in old age. So whether you are young or old, health. But apart from health, vitality in old age. I'm not preaching about health in old age. This might seem to have misunderstood me. Are we talking about health in old age? We're talking about health generally. But we're now picking on vitality in old age, that an old man is not designed by God to be a weak man. So whether you are young, you should be healthy. Whether you are old, you should be strong and healthy. All right? So what are the things we do regularly? The seeds we sow. Now, for time's sake, we won't bother opening to it. But if you go to that Mark chapter 11, after Jesus cursed that tree and Peter pointed out to him that the tree that he cursed was dead, the first thing Jesus said to him was, have faith in God constantly. If you go and read the Amplified Bible, that's what he says. He said, have faith in God constantly. All right, you can check it. I think that's verse 22, right? 22. Mark 11, have faith in God. That's what your Bible says, unless you're using the Amplified. Verse 22, right? Yes, he said, have faith in God constantly. Please, I teach on that constant thing all the time. The faith in God is supposed to be constant. Now, this is what I'm trying to say. Listen, if you fell ill now, if you were to fall ill, I probably will give you 10 scriptures to read, prayers to pray, all right, understand? After we are finished praying, all right, with you, and we believe that God will manifest his power because of those things that he will do. That's how you are believing God, like we say. Is that okay? Now, that is an emergency measure. I'm not saying it's bad, it has become necessary. But there is something to do every day, whether you are sick or you are not, which produces as a harvest health, which produces as a harvest strength in old age. I hope you're getting my point. Let me go over it again. There are things you do on a regular basis. Whether you are sick or not, in this life, what you are doing every day, like I said, what you are going to experience are fruits. Fruits. That's what they're experiencing. But then, what are the seeds you will sow to reap those things as fruits? Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Now, this is what the world tells us. Let's go to the world again for a moment. I've been combating this thing that the world does. What the world tries to do is to redirect our eyes away from the Lord. And please, fight it. Fight it. When it comes to, will I live? Will I die? Will I be strong? Will I be sick? Fight the source. I gave the illustration then. Let me just for illustration purposes. One day, a man of God died. Two different men of God died. And I talked to two different people at two different times. All right? But they gave me a response that I felt was very ignorant. He said, if he had had a better car, a car that had airbags. Did you hear what I said? That his church people, they're not nice to him. If only that man had a good car. The man died because his car was not good. I said, what's wrong with the car? He said, he didn't have airbags. I said, Now, for every Christian, what I want to say applies. But let me just say, because this was actually a man of God. That is, when I say man of God, a preacher. So I said, a preacher died, and you are saying the car did not have airbags. So, when the angel of death comes to collect you, you think airbag can stop him. Let me tell you, that guy, he has a blade for airbags. He will slice the airbag and stretch his hand through the airbag and pull you through the bag and carry you to where he's going. The other person, he died suddenly. Then somebody said, I heard he used to eat a lot of eggs. I said, man of God died. You are counting egg. He said, I've seen him eat 5 eggs at a time before. I said, so? Now, these two people I'm talking about, they ascribe the death of a messenger of God to earthly things alone. When that man of God that God sent against Jeroboam died, do you know why he died? God told him, go this way, don't go back to this city. He went there, he obeyed God, then the old prophet came and lied to him. And that same prophet prophesied and said, you have now disobeyed God, because he disobeyed. And on the way, a lion stopped him, killed him, and then stood beside the body. The lion was not hungry. He was sent by God to go and kill the man. It was the man of God. I hope you're getting my point. I'd like to tell the story of Branham. When Branham died, 6 years, I think, before he died, another prophet, God told him, at the end of 65, I'm taking that man away. For certain reasons, okay? And on the day he died, you know what happened? A drunken driver driving a bad car swung across the road and hit his car head on and killed him. Would have said, that's why we need better regulations. We need, that kind of car. If he had lights now, because he had one light, one was there, so he was driving on the road as if it's a motorcycle. They didn't know it was a full car. So there was a road head-on collision that kicked him out of the car, and then, make a long story short, he was severely injured. At the end of the week, he died. 6 years before, another prophet had been told that this man's time will run out at the end of 65. The man died December 65. Do you think it's an accident? Please, I'm telling you, remove your eyes from physical things. Please, I'm being emphatic about it. The world is always trying to direct our eyes. Now, I want to show today the things that control health, the things that control strength. They are spiritual. They are spiritual. I said the other day I saw a woman that was 80-something and is still jumping rope. There's something I told my wife. Some people now say it's good to continue to jump rope, right? So that you jump rope into old age. There have been people who did... They say that they just jump one step, not be rope. Their hip broke. Jumping rope does not strengthen your hip. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. I told you, once it happened last week, there's a Nigerian former footballer. Is still young? 45 is not old, my guy. 45 is not old. If he's 45 and he comes here, he must proceed to greet him. Otherwise, he won't go to heaven. How can you say 45 is old? Let me tell you old, 97. Let me tell you old, 105. 75 is not old, though. can you 75 people that are still playing soccer. Anyway, but the point I make is that the man died suddenly. If somebody said that, can I go and check it? Athletes don't have a record for long life. In fact, because I've not confirmed this, I think they've even used up their body on time. When you run up and down like that, your body will say, go tired. Say, hey, God gave us 5 million steps. You ran 4.9 million. By the time you were 35, the rest of the time, they'll take one step a day so that they can have enough steps of the one God gave them for the rest of their lives. It appears like something that we wonder. Where I'm going is that, so exercise in itself is not the reason why that woman I was telling you about was the way she was. Even though I was encouraged by her life, and I told my wife, no, I have to start jumping, bouncing again, because I want to be able to do that at that age. It's a good thing, it's not a bad thing. Well, I was telling my wife, all this one was saying is because God gave her health. It's because God gave her health. If the Lord did not give her health, bro, forget it. She will die like anybody else. She will become, exercise or no exercise. If you get one serious disease, what's the name of, there's one singer, one musician, she has what they call stiff person syndrome. You didn't do anything, your body just turned stiff. Yeah, she didn't sin against anything that we know, naturally. That means she ate something, but very rare disease, and suddenly her body is going stiff. Imagine you can't open your mouth wide. You open it small. You can't open your hand fully. You can only open it small. You want to know the truth? No exercise can cure that. Yeah. Exercise cannot prevent it. We don't even know what prevents it. There are so many diseases in this life that the shock is that you are alive and well. When you say somebody is sick, it's like, finally. One of the diseases, normally, that is a normal thing. For you to be alive and well, too many functions have to function properly. So that is why I want you to take your eyes away from the physical reasoning that the world is trying to push us to, for us to ascribe our health to material things. Because if you don't connect with the real source, I've been saying this for the last few days now, okay? If you don't connect with the real source, you'll be, you know, the flow of power will be truncated and suddenly you'll be disappointed. And that's what I'm trying to prevent. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God. So that what we see was not caused by the things that are physically connected. I hope you're getting my point. So the things that we see did not come out of the things that are, how do you say it in King James? That do appear. What it means is that the real life you see, the thing that powers it is invisible. What powers it is what? Invisible. And it's those invisible things I call the seeds for health and for vitality in old age. For health for everybody, for you, for your children. And I'm adding to it, for strength, even when you're old. So what is the job you need to do? Plant the seeds regularly so that the harvest will be falling upon you, the fruit will be falling upon you. Again and again. You continually plant the seeds all through your life. And our prayer, and my prayer for you is that the harvest, the seed, the fruit of the good seeds will continually drop on your life. No matter how much you take care of your health, you can't take care of accidents. No, that's what they call accidents. In my house, I think I should be the most accident preventive person. I see risk everywhere. I'm really seeing this. Don't do this because this might happen. I think it's age, experience, it's wisdom that God gave. You know, some things will happen sometimes, you know. Sometimes you talk to everything. You want just come one day and you see your back door at 3 a.m. Somebody just left it open. I didn't call any of these children's names. So not tell one of them. Say, wait. But last night I told you to go and lock the door. You know what he told you? I did. So what happened? Then when you're investigating, okay, this man went out to feed the dog at 12 midnight. And because he woke up to go and feed the dog, when he was coming back inside, he was already asleep in his dreams. So he just entered the house and, you know, pushed the door shut. And the breeze opposed him and left the door wide open. Safety is of the Lord. It's not locked doors. That's how I'm going. Oh, lock the door, but we better pray, because some of these doors, sometimes they open themselves. Just be wondering. So it's as if one angel wants to prove to you. There are days you slept throughout weeks, you were sleeping. The lock was not working, you did not know. And there are times that thieves came and tried to break in and they couldn't pass through. When I was in Lod those days, one day a thief came to break into our house, where my neighbor's house, my friend. You know what the thief did not know? Sorry, I'm laughing. You know what the guy did? There was an AC box. There was no AC inside. He managed to remove the cover and pass through, enter the house. But where he was supposed to come down, my friend plays chess. So he put the chess board on the chair. So as he put his foot down, the chess pieces fell down. Do you get the point? He stepped on the guy's chess pieces. They all fell down. So he ran away. So my friend woke up and told me the door was open. The thief did not know. He told me other one, the thief was breaking through AC vent and doing all of that. He said he slept off. He did not lock the door. He just shut the door. The thief did not touch the door. The thief did all the break in, succeeded. Chest pieces messed him up. Not knowing that the door to the house was not locked at all. What am I saying of these things? See, tell your neighbor, please. Say, safety,
safety
is of the Lord.
Is of the Lord.
Say somebody else. Safety.
Is of the Lord.
Tell another person, safety
is
of the Lord.
You
know what the Bible says? Except the Lord builds a house. So it's good to build a house, but the Lord must build it first. Except the Lord watches the city. The watchman is awake, but in vain. So should you have watchmen? Yes, but only if the Lord is watching. If the Lord is not watching, hire all the watchmen. In fact, they are the thieves. You hire the thieves. And that's what we are saying. So the seeds are spiritual. They tap into the spiritual. And it's the last one I wanted to teach on today and help us, you know, just lead us as we go to the scriptures. But then, as I was coming, the list just dropped for me. So I said, okay, let's go through them. We've spoken at length. I have a list of like seven. Tell yourself, he has a list of seven seeds. Yes, he has a list of seven seeds. Now, please listen to this. They are constant seeds. Have faith in God. How? Constantly. These are things you do every day. Now, listen to me. They are not targeted at health. They are not primarily targeted at vitality in old age. They are just seeds that a child of God must sow constantly. And I'm here today to teach you that, brethren, let us sow these seeds constantly in our lives. Now, I'm saying, by the Spirit of God, there are many benefits. There are many things. Most importantly, you'll be pleasing to God. All right? But many benefits. One of those major benefits is health. One of the major benefits is what? Vitality. One of the major benefits is that you'll be old, you'll be strong. One of the major benefits is that you'll be healthy constantly. One of the major benefits is that even if you were to fall sick, you will recover. I hope you're getting my point. There are times you hear somebody say, I've never been sick, and that's good. Somebody tells you that, don't say it's a lie. How can you say it's a lie? We're in his house. Don't you believe in God of miracles? Does God not work miracles? And let me tell you, stop twisting your nose at testimonies. If you hear a testimony, just say, wow, and continue going. Don't look at it as this thing, such things don't happen. Such things happen. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah, very, very important. Don't undermine spiritual things. Don't ever, in your heart, undermine spiritual things. Now, having said that, now, many of us, we fall ill. Now, you know one of the reasons why you fall ill? Many times it's for your own good. How can it be for my good? Because you went wrong, you sinned. You did what was wrong, and God saw no other way to correct you apart from sickness. Have you heard it before? God will never send sickness against his child. It's not in the scriptures. The Bible, I know, says he does. Is it his will? Last time I explained it. Was it his will? Could it be his discipline? What is his will? No, in that situation, what is his will? No. In that particular situation, what is his will? Eh? That the person will repent and recover. Thank you. That's where I'm going. In that situation, that's why I said, in that situation. So that's why David said, the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. You know what that tells you? He was so severely disciplined, he was near death. But he said, open to me the gates of righteousness. What happens is that you will learn. Elihu said, it's a prayer, and it's a prayer you must pray for yourself. In fact, I prayed today for those who will listen to me, all right? That God, may you send us intercessors that will tell us what is right to do. Because many people are suffering. Nobody can identify for them what the problem is. It's a prayer you must pray in your life. Dear Lord, send me correction. There's a way spiritual things work. Sometimes even me, I just say, God, why is it like this? God will say, better pray. You have affliction. Pray for correction that will identify what the problem here is. Many people just keep batting their head, the devil. God said, look, you're a child of God, leave the devil out of. The job of the devil, I've told you before, number one is what? Deception. Temptation. That's it. It's only when you have fallen for his temptation that he now has the power of accusation and can get judgment of death against the individual. So don't forget that thing. That is why it's so important that I told you recently, I heard a story. Someone was telling me about one particular brother who was seriously sick. But no, just telling him that some corrections he had to make in his life. He now said, make it simple, that his liver was failing, but then he has recovered after he made his corrections. Did you hear what I said? The man was seriously sick, but he made corrections in his life, and then he recovered. If you read your Bible, I don't have time to teach that now. That was exactly what happened to Hezekiah. God was dealing with pride in Hezekiah's life. Make a cake of figs, apply to the boil, and it will recover. Please, I hope you're getting my point. You are a child of God. The devil is not your problem. It's you to sit down and say, God, what are you saying? You know, this teaching that no, the devil is does. I say no, and that God does not afflict this. I say, see, how do I explain this? It's scripture. Don't be a hype, a faith believer that this is what everybody believes. Believe the scriptures. He disciplines with affliction, but it's never his will that people suffer. That is not his will. So if you do find yourself in a difficult situation, you go and pray. You know, I was saying something earlier, fasting. Do you remember I talked about? Hey, I didn't even finish it. I said, in the time of fasting, what do? We boost faith. Yeah. I didn't categorically explain that, but that's where I was going. That what are we doing when we are fasting? We're Christian. We are boosting faith. We are getting direction. We are saying, God, what is going on? Let me tell you the way my own life is. If I'm going on the road and my shoe spoils, listen, it's very funny. What I want to say, you will laugh at it. Maybe I buy a new pair of shoes. A few weeks ago, I'm walking on the road. Suddenly, I step on something. Maybe I fell. And then I go across one sharp object and it slices through my shoes and destroys the leather. And I thank God my foot is not injured. No, while I'm going. Then I'm driving my car. Then the tire climbs a sharp object and it cuts the tire. Are you catching it? What's the first one that was caught? What is being caught now? You can call me superstitious. That's your problem. It saves my life. When I get home, I pray. I said, dear Lord, this shoe was expensive. You are going to replace it. But before you replace it, let's talk. Why did I step on such a sharp thing to destroy such a nice pair of shoes? My tire, you know the cost, dear Lord. The tire is not old, it's condemned now, and you were watching. I'm being honest with you, I will pray. Then we say, oh, the devil said he will take my tire. The devil knows my car, he keeps his distance. Because if he doesn't, I match his head. I will give the devil spinal cord injury. So let's leave that thing. If my tire gets cut, usually cut by an angel. That's where I see. So I said to the dealer, what are you seeing? What is going on? I want to know. This has happened now. First time, second time, third time in a row. You must be saying something. Now, what caught the first time? Shoe, right? What's for the second time? I start checking, where do I go that I'm not supposed to go? Or where am I supposed to go? Because blessed on the mountains are the feet of those that bear glad tidings. So I say, am I supposed to carry the gospel somewhere? I keep asking all kinds of questions. You know why I do that? Next slicing thing, it could be my foot. So right now, you cut rubber and leather. You have cut enough, dear Lord. I will pray until I get direction. If I don't have direction, I manufacture one. I just manufactured one for you now. Is that not? You don't get it? Oh, you didn't get that? Yes. What I mean is that, if I pray, nothing comes to my mind. Well, I thank the Lord for it. I claim the scriptures. I claim the word of God for safety and all of that. And I continue my life. And I start looking for, where are you going? I become more careful about where I go and where I'm supposed to go. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
No, that's how I handle my life. I've told this story before. See, when I was a resident doctor, this happened to me at the time. Now, in fact, it happened again and again. I was ill. Now, I know small medicine, all right? Maybe not too much. Maybe some of you think you know more than I do, but I actually know more than you, just that you don't realize it. So I was ill some time ago when I was in Lagos. It's long ago now, so I'm telling you, before I came to Enugu. And I went, I thought it was malaria. I took some medicines, it didn't go. So I went and got some injectables and all of that. Now, for certain reasons, I won't tell you this part of the story, exactly what happened, I'll tell you the conclusion. So I just felt in my heart, Banky, this time around, you will not be cured by these drugs. So I said, dear Lord, what do I do? You know what to do. You want to hear the truth? It took me a whole month and a loss of much weight before I got well. But I said, I'm not taking any medicine. I will go to work. You're talking about fasting. Every day I fasted and prayed. How did I fast? Every day I will study scriptures. Every day I will listen to the word. Every day I will meditate on scriptures. One whole month, I remember. What are you talking about? Every single day I was drinking my medicine, was my Bible. Those are cassettes. I'll put a cassette. I'll lie down there. 45 minutes, 1 hour, 1.5 hours. I will listen to that word. Every single day. My strength did not recover overnight, suddenly. It built up gradually. Later on, when I saw, there was one guy, was my junior colleague. He said, hey, chief, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. And how are you now? I said, I'm very, very fine. I was fully recovered. I was very, very fine. And I said, what was the problem? What message did you take? I said, nothing. I said, it was weakness of spirit. He looked at me like I fell out of the sky. Like, what is this old guy talking about? I said, my spirit was weak. And I'm certain, I don't have any doubt in my heart. That's what God was saying. Your spirit has become weak. And these frequent illnesses are just a manifestation of what? A weakened spirit. That's all. I'm still talking, right? I've had to the 7 seeds. Number 1 seed of health is obedience. I thought of what to call this. I didn't know which word. I just used the word obedience because you say obedience to words. What? I'll say obedience to many things. Obedience to every law, every precept that God gives. As an example, the law of moderation. You obey it. Every single law God gives. Now, there are some rules the Lord gives that he said directly that they have to do with your health. For example, he says, honor your father and your mother. Did you hear what I said? What did he say? I didn't hear you. Answer like I'm not alone here. Brethren, that's not a joke. You know, people come from different homes. Some of us come from homes that if our father is talking, We can't answer him back. We can't shout at him. And it's a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Some people, they grew up with bad manners in their pocket. It's not your fault. It's society you grew up in. Many people, you know, they think it's Western. It's Western culture. You talk to your father anyhow. One of our brothers did something the other day. I heard the story. I laughed. He lives in America. So, but he did something. He brought it, when his children get to secondary school, he brings them to Nigeria to come and go to secondary school. So one of our sisters that act like a guardian for the kids, he said one day they were in her house. The man said something. The boy said, "Look at this man." His father. Like, what is this man saying? And that kind of thing. This man saying, your father, okay, no wala. She said she looked at him and said, "Don't worry. You're in Nigeria now. We go mend you. Don't worry, we'll rearrange you." You remember that factory resetting button? What's it called? So what is it? Koboko, thank you, Koboko. It's been working since 1852. All right. So she said to herself, "Don't worry. She'll be at home now. We'll teach you righteousness." The boy will go body house. Next time, his father came. "Welcome, sir." See, the father smiled. He was so happy. They had reset the boy, rearranged him. His father called, "Sir." He became daddy, sir. Before he came, was father was what? "This man." By the time they finished resetting the boy, he was, "Sir. Sir." Daddy will call, "Yes, sir. Military academy, you go learn." The guy learned the fear of God. Some people, they grew up in a very faulty environment where they don't have respect for elders. It negatively affects your health if you don't have respect for your parents. That's one. But the Bible tells us clearly, honor your father and your mother. It goes beyond bowing down and being respectful. He said, "If I'm a father," what the Bible says, "where is my honor?" Honor is tangible. One man of God was saying recently, this one by Reverend Ken and I travel. If you remember that day, he said somebody came to tell him thank you. So he was looking, he said, "So where is the thank you?" A lot of people don't know. When he said that, I laughed because it happened to me here in Enugu before. One man traveled, say, "Pastor Banky has been such a blessing. He came to tell him thank you. I was not around." So he asked, "Okay, that is his wife." He said, "I came to tell Pastor thank you." So my wife said, "So where is the thank you?" "Oh, I should put your mouth in my hand. And when my husband comes, I say," and they will hear thank you. Some people don't know that thing. It's nonsense. What did I say?
Nonsense.
It's nonsense. That's not how to say thank you. I'm being honest with you. You don't travel a great distance to come and use mouth to say thank you. That's bad manners. When you're coming to say thank you, you must bring gifts. God said, "If I'm a father, where is my honor?" My honor is physical, it's tangible. They were supposed to bring a certain kind of sacrifice. When I say honor your father and your mother, Jesus said, you make the word of God of no effect by your traditions, in which somebody will say, "I have made korban of what I could have helped you with. Therefore," can you see that? "What I could have given to you, I have korbaned it, given it to God." Jesus said, by doing so, what do? You make the word of God of no effect. That means when Jesus said, when the Lord said, honor your father and your mother, he said, Christmas, where is the goat? Where is the cow? You went home empty-handed. Are you? What is wrong with your head? He said, my father has money, so? So? You couldn't count 40 tubers of yam? What is wrong with you? Your father has money. You don't understand. The agbada you sow for him feels different on his body. When they bring the venison from the goat that you bought, it tastes different. You don't understand. It has nothing to do with him having money. If I say this, some people won't like it, but it's the truth. If your father is that rich, in that case, don't buy him cheap wine. It sounds crazy. You take a whole month's salary and buy him a bottle of wine. Because it's well-to-do. Wine he can appreciate. It's called alabaster box effect. Don't drive a car home and say, "Daddy, you know we are still small. You bring him Chivita." Can you see my face? For those that are listening on radio, you can't see my face. My face is bewildered. My face is discombobulated. You can't do that. What are you doing driving car for? Hey, this generation, people love smart devices. Let me not sit on it. I'm not sitting on giving now. Honor your father and your mother. You're wearing expensive clothes. Anyway, let me not sit on it. But you get my point. These are habits of what? Good health. What do I call them? Habits of good health. It's not just mouth alone. It's cash, material gifts. Honor is visible, it's tangible. That's the point I'm making. There are many scriptures that you're supposed to obey, please. There are so many. For example, quickly open to the book of Psalms. Psalm 34. Psalm number 34. Any version you have, you read it, okay? We're going to read this together. I'm going to read 11 and 12, then you continue 13 to 16. I'll drop my voice slightly so that your voices can come in. From 11 says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life?" Now listen to this. We are talking about health and strength in old age. "Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good?" Can you see that? It covers what we are saying. Now 13, let's go. "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles." Hallelujah. He said in verse 18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit." He said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Now, did you notice that? You see, he said, how does this define the righteous here? The one who keeps his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He departs from evil and does good. He seeks peace and pursues it. For time's sake, I'll stop talking there about this. There are many scriptures. You do know what Elihu said? Have you ever heard people say Babake to people they don't like? You know what they call Babake? They don't know Babake. Ah, I thought it's a common slang in Nigeria. You are healing somebody, ultimate father. Basically, you are healing somebody you don't like, truly. You're a sycophant. Obsequious speech. Things that are not truly coming from your heart. You know what Elihu said? You continue like that, you will die prematurely. Flattery. Elihu said it kills. Saying things you don't mean. Giving wrong impression. Elihu said you will die prematurely. Christianity, please. There's a series we are doing on radio now. I hope many of us are following it. Fulfilling your salt assignment. We are going on. We see we are not done. We are almost at number 30 now. It's 10 minutes each. Please keep on following up. Following. I can't teach you. Those things, please, they are part of it. Fulfilling. What's the title? Fulfilling God's assignment of salt on the earth. Something like that. It's currently running on our Pastor Banking 10. 10 minutes every morning. These are the things we are talking. Everything there is part of the commandment we are talking about. This doing good is there. We just talked about being good just now. It's here. Seek, do good. Depart from evil and do what? Good. Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Just in a few examples. Let's talk about Moses. Please, I'm still talking about obedience. Moses is a classic example of somebody who God kept in health. People were falling sick in Egypt. God said to Moses, "I will not put the disease of the Egyptians upon you. The afflictions of this world, they are called the disease of the Egyptians. They are not the portion of believers. Whether it is hereditary or not, they are not your portion." Say amen.
Amen.
It's the word of the Lord to believers. Egyptian diseases are not yours. I don't mean this natural Egypt. Every affliction that God reserves for disobedient people, they are not your portion.
Amen.
All the ailments of this world, they are not your portion.
Amen.
But let's look at Moses. Let me summarize the life of Moses. Don't just claim, you know, Moses was 120 years old. His eyes did not become dim. His strength did not abate. All right? Now, first, let me just quickly pray for you. No matter how old you become, your eyes will not become dim.
Amen.
Your strength will not become weak.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You climb 2 flights of stairs to get here today. In 40 years' time, you will be able to climb it.
Amen.
I've heard it a lot of times. They say, retirement home. When you are building your retirement home, the master bedroom must be downstairs. You know, in Nigeria, we don't put master bedroom downstairs if it has upstairs. Master bedroom has to be upstairs where you can see above the gate, where you can shout down at people. They say, you know, when you are old now, your knee will not be able to climb again. Now, that is natural, but that will not be your portion.
Amen.
If you like, put your bedroom on second floor. You will climb there.
Amen.
You have the strength to go there.
Amen.
Your strength will not abate both for going and for coming.
Amen.
For climbing up and climbing down.
Amen.
Now, if you are listening to me anywhere and your knees hurt, now, let me pray for those knees. We have already established that it's not your age. So don't say it's because of my age. Now, I speak to the spirit of infirmity in that knee. I command it because of the mercy of God. Out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I speak to that knee, recover.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, Moses, the Bible says, was 120 years old. His strength did not diminish. His eyes did not grow dim. It's something we like to claim, right? But I have a message for you today. Don't just claim the blessing of Moses. Claim the life of Moses. The blessing will follow. A few things about the life of Moses. This was a man who obeyed God in everything. When he started disobeying, God withdrew him from service. Yeah, God withdrew him from service. Up to that point, he obeyed God in everything. You want to succeed in this life, please keep on obeying God. Go where he wants you to go. See, there's something about the Lord. He doesn't bless halfway. Let me explain. If he says you want to stay in the garden, you won't eat the fruit. If you want to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you just know you will not live in the garden. You have to go and live outside. Many people want to live in the garden, but be eating recklessly. He has given you everything to eat. There are boundaries in this life. Observe those boundaries. Now, this is where I'm going. Moses. We like the fact that he was strong. But don't forget, all his life, he was following the Lord. One thing that pleased Moses more than any other thing was to know God. After working with God for so long, one day he said, God, can I see you clearly? God said, that is asking for too much. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know what it means to see God? We're going to talk about that maybe by next week on Pastor Banking 10. There's a vision of God you have. That is the most faith-boosting thing that exists on this earth, the vision of God. There's nothing that boosts faith more than the vision of God. I'll give a good example. When did you hear that Saul gave his life to Christ? Paul. Did he give his life to Christ? Did you hear that Paul, if you don't want to... No, he saw Jesus Christ, he was born again. Before the vision was over. He was born, once he saw the, he said, why are you persecuting me? As soon as he saw that, he was born again. There's a way you see God. Faith. God told Moses, I'm not following you again. Moses said, no problem, let's leave that. Now, can I see you? God said, no, I'll just declare my name when I pass you. So God, Moses said, no problem. So next thing, God passed by him and heard God declare, the Lord God. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, while forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Moses bowed down his head, he worshipped, and said, God, you remember, these people are stubborn and obstinate, but you forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin. You will go with us. God said, where's my bag? Let's go. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. So, for Moses, that was the greatest desire of his life. What am I going to say? Don't just claim the blessing of Moses. Claim what? The life of Moses. I talked about obedience. Let's rush. The next thing, as part of obedience, brethren. He says in James chapter 6, if I let me just talk about this as number 2 point. He said, confess your sins or your faults to one another. And pray for one another so you may be healed. When he talks about effectual, fervent, continued prayer of a righteous man avails much or makes more power available. in James chapter 5 verse 16. It was after I talked about healing as a result of confession. We have seen from this scripture is clear that afflictions come because of disobedience. Brethren, walk away from sin. What did I say? But if you have committed sins, you must confess your sins. To who? Depends on who you sinned against. I hope you get my point. If I sin against my wife, I have to go and confess to my wife. If I sin against the Lord, I confess to the Lord. I hope you get what I'm saying? If you stole money from your office, don't confess to your pastor. It's not correct. It's not rich. What did I say?
Not rich.
No, not rich. You have a structure, a private business. You took their money. Go back and tell the man, I took your money. I will pay you back. What if he calls police? Tell him on the phone. And go and hide in the monastery. And start sending him his money back. A lot of people are suffering because they have not agreed to confess their sins. Their sins you confess against God. Commit against the Lord. Yes, they exist. You confess that one to him. I remember one story, Kenny Higgins, who was ministering. One girl, she was really sick, really sick. As it got to her, a scripture came to his head. He said, fools, because of their transgressions, are afflicted. And he said to the, just said to the girl, say after me, I am that fool. The girl began to shout, I am that fool. I am the fool. She got well. Her healing came because she admitted her iniquity. I will say this again. The gospel of grace that tolerates sin is sending people into perdition. Hyper-grace doctrine is false. I will say it so that, you see, some people are laughing at me. And I said it last time. So I would say, they wanted to explain it to me. I said, no need to explain what I have argued over for 30-something years. You just started learning it. Now, I don't mean to be arrogant. I don't mean to brag, except that it is the truth. When Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven, was he being arrogant? If you are the bread, you are the bread. If you are not, that is where the problem is. See, some people come, they want to argue with you. Please don't be angry. They've been born again for 5 years. They are hearing this doctrine for the first time. They've never had the opposite. They've never tried to balance it. And they want to argue with us that as children in university, we heard this thing scatter people. We have seen the end of those that follow that way. And you want to talk. One brother, like I told you, he said, hey, pastor, just have an open mind. To what? I told one sister, please, I'm sorry, we are streaming, I'm not giving you names. There's one man, prominent man, preaching it. I told her, look, that guy is high on something. Some people are drunk on something you don't understand. The grace of God is manifested, teaching us to abstain from, as they say again, worldly lust, and depart from iniquity. Any grace that says otherwise, it's not grace, it's disgrace. It's like God has forgiven your sins ahead. So that's how you must commit it. Don't believe any doctrine that makes you comfortable in sin. I'm saying number one, obedience, right? I said confession of sin, that's number two. Let's go to number three. Principle number three, seeds number three for health and for vitality. In old age. This is very important. Because of time, we won't go into it. Remember that story we read in Numbers chapter 21? The people murmured against who? Against God and against Moses. But because we never murmur against God, we never tell God, what do you think you are doing up there? Nobody says that. Except he's planning to go to hell. So what do? We murmur against pastor. We murmur against the boss in the office. We murmur against the governor, the president, the leader of the congregation. We murmur against somebody God placed in authority over us. That is how we murmur against God. Let me tell you now, brethren, serpents still bite till today those who make murmuring their assignment. So those guys you see online, always murmuring. Eh? They are being beaten. If you're a Christian, please, I have to emphasize this. You can't see. I'm not saying you must agree with everything government is doing or your pastor is doing. But you know what they call murmuring? How do I define it now? It's when you spend more time on what is not good than on the blessing that God has given you. When you are spreading by your words discontent, and that's a very important thing, the spread of discontent amongst people. The spreading of discontent. See, make sure that you are an agent of good. That when you go to a place, people are more informed, they are better people, they have, you know, you walk in and faith enters into their lives. Brother, I need to say this to you very clearly. It makes sick. It makes ill. It depletes your spiritual energy and your physical strength if you make murmuring a habit in your life. And let me tell you, no matter how bad things have been, do the opposite, thanksgiving. There is always something to thank God for. Remove murmuring and grumbling out of your life. Instead, make it a habit to be thankful. Thank God for small things. There are those in this state, state town, there's no pipe-borne water, but there's pipe-borne rain. Didn't you see it? Did it not fall today? Oh, look, let's say heaven-borne water. Keep your bucket outside and fetch, and thank God for it. You're not in the desert. There are many things to complain about if you want to complain. And there are many reasons to be sick, therefore. If you like health, make gratitude your portion in life. Number four key, or seed, avoid dividing and separating brethren. I'm giving this from scripture because you see, if you go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, for this cause, many are weak and sick amongst you, and a number even sleep. And what it means is when a Christian dies, not rightfully discerning the body of Christ. He said, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So he says, there are six things the Lord hates, yet seven that are an abomination to him. One of those things, the one that separates brethren. Can you see that? That's from Proverbs chapter 6. If you read from 6 to 19, he lists those things. One of them is what? The one that separates brethren. See, just go and watch it. I don't know how you do that experiment, but it's not good. If you have a friend, he's always dividing people amongst you. All right? Say like that in secondary school. By the time he's a middle-aged person, he'll be sick all the time. He's not one of those that will live long. He's not one of those that will be telling story when he's 70 of what used to happen when you were in secondary school. No. We'll have left you guys in his 40s, his 50s. Because it's something that God hates. The one that separates brethren. Let me give you a tip. If you go to a church, you don't like what the pastor is doing, don't gather the deacons to talk to them. Unless you want to tell people, let's go and talk to pastor. I hope you're getting my point. So what if I don't like it? Ah, this is Nigeria. You know how many churches there? Live there and save your life. Many years ago, there was a church I was attending. After a while, I told my wife, I'm not going again. She said, why? I said, because I've noticed anytime I enter, I'm angry. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I'm angry. Now, listen, I can sit down and tell you the things I was angry about. And because you love me and you believe me, all right, you will agree with me. But apart from that, till now I'm convinced I'm right. Based on scripture. Okay? However, it's not my church. I'm not the founder and president. I'm not the head deacon. All my presence will end up doing is causing division. So I walked away. It's safety for me. There's this brother I've been warning, you know. If you think you're a prophet, make sure God give you that assignment. He's online. Sitting every day to see how he can. There's someone that called and said, Daddy, something that did this. That one makes me laugh. I feel like telling him, I hope somebody who knows him can know he's the one I'm talking about and go and tell him, say, this job you have given yourself, eh? You see, God didn't give you. I have enough discernment to tell you, he didn't give you. Leave the job. Because you see that every day I'm criticizing and abusing people that in the realm of the spirit are better than you. Just because you disagree on some points, in which many of them, they are very right, you are very wrong, but you just don't know. If you go to a church where every day you are angry with them because they are wrong and you are right too. I'm not saying you are right. Do you notice what I'm saying? Obinna, it doesn't say you are wrong. You are right. It's just that you are not full of anger and you are stirring division. It's not good for your health. Walk away. That's number what? Number four. I'll give you a fifth one. Now, these other ones, they look more positive. I've already explained this. The seed of mercy. I've explained that. Not when we were just at the beginning. That's why I talked about Paul. The seed of mercy. You must sow it all the time. The seed of mercy. The seed of mercy. What am I by seed of mercy? Be a good and kind person. Solve problems for people. Be a good person. When Dorcas died, do you know the church loved Dorcas so much? Dorcas, like I said, you know, we were talking about it earlier. Dorcas didn't want to come back. It's the church that said no. When my baby was born, she made this shawl that I used to carry the baby. When I was there, she was the one that made this. So, just she would give. Dorcas was not only making clothes. All right? Dorcas was a kind person. Everybody missed Dorcas. So when Peter came, they told Peter, Peter came to do burial. When everybody was missing Dorcas, Peter could kneel down. He remembered the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I know how to do this one. Yeah, she's been dead for 4 days. He said, no. I said, this one is a small one now. The hard one is 4 days. This one that just happened, it's not yesterday. I said, leave that. Peter knelt down there and talked to the Lord. He said, Lord, we want Dorcas back. If you're a married man here, a married woman, don't grumble against your wife, because if she dies, she won't come back. If you show to God you don't want her, or your husband, that's why his head just be shining like this. I don't know the kind of nonsense head he has. Your husband. If that guy gets malaria, you go bury him. Let the Lord know that, don't carry him. Okay, he did bad. Okay, he didn't do bad again. That bad he did, I hereby call it good. God was slow to collect the guy. I hope you're getting my point. God just said, Peter just said to the Lord, Tabitha, what was the other girl? Talitha, Kumi. This one, Tabitha, Kumi. Little girl, I said to you, arise. This one, Dorcas, arise. The same thing, Talitha, Kumi, Tabitha, I won't go over that again because we're talking about Paul. That was why Paul knew that he would leave. The Philippians wanted him. That's what I mean by the seed of mercy. Make sure you're a merciful person. Then, let's go to this other one. The penultimate one will be the seed of expectation. Yes. That's number what? 6. Is that so? The seed of expectation. Brethren, always expect good. I don't have time. They said the expectation of the righteous will not be cut off, will not be cut short. God expects you to look forward to something good. When they tell stories, look for the good side of it. Are you getting my point? Always look out for good in your life. Don't look for the worst case scenario. Do you know? 1,000 cars will travel. Maybe one will be attacked by thieves and kidnappers and all of that. Why do you want to expect that it's your own that will be that one out of 1,000? Do you know, it's not news to see 999 vehicles moved between Enugu and Onitsha yesterday. Is it news? But it's news that one ran under a trailer. That is why that one enters the newspaper. It doesn't mean every vehicle going to Onitsha is going under the trailer. So next time you enter your own vehicle, as we are reading the newspaper that a vehicle left in Ugo, going to Onitsha, Atoji entered the packed cement truck. Say, I hope the driver and the occupants are okay. Father, thank you because we are reaching Onitsha in peace. Open to the next page. They are not talking to you. They are informing the family of the deceased. Do you get my point? They are not talking to you. Expect good concerning your life. Always expect good. Make it a habit. Derek Prince said, It's compulsory. Christians must be optimists. That you cannot be a pessimist if you're a believer. Jesus said, in the midst of terrible things, look up, your redemption draws near. A Christian can never, must never be a pessimist. Some say, well, the way this country is going, to where? Was the cousin of mine that told me that, is he look for money for ticket? I said, you have not looked for money for me to help you pay for, what do you call it, project in final year in university. I should give you money to buy ticket because you want to jack out of Nigeria. He saw him long ago. I said, he said, ah, bros, the way this country is going. I look, I said, are we mates? You have not gone anywhere. I'm the one that has gone to, went to Edo State for school, went to Kiti State for internship, went to Taraba State for NYC, went to Lagos State for residency, came to Enugu State to work and live. And you're telling me how the country is going. Meanwhile, now in Edo State, you did all the days of your life. I didn't even count down Edo State because we both started from there. You started there, continued there, finished there. And you're telling me the way the country is going. See, this whole world is going bad. The only one that's going forward is the kingdom of God. I hope you're getting my point. The only one that is going forward is the kingdom of God. And that's where you have to situate yourself. Concerning your life, always expect good. That's what I'm saying. Let me tell you the kind of person I am. If any good develops, I say it's because I moved here. Yeah, I know. If you like, be angry with me. Be angry with me if you like. For as far as I'm concerned, God is preparing a good land for me. Look, tell a no good governor, if he annoys me, he won't get second tenure. Yes. God will just say, bank is not happy. That's all. I won't do anything. Because this is my city of abode. The place where God lives. Always think of good concerning your life. That's what I'm saying. Your expectation will not be cut short.
Amen.
Don't look at John and say, I can't enter. Say, I can enter because the Lord is with me. That's number what? The seed, number six, of expectation. And the last of all, this is one I wanted to do it with today, but I will just introduce it, and God helping us, we'll continue on it next time. That's the seed of words. The seed of words. The seed of words. The seed of words. Words for us in this category come in two forms. Meditations and prophetic utterances. I'll just remind us of what these two things mean. And then we close. God helping us. When we'll come again on Tuesday next week. We'll continue to talk about meditations and prophetic utterances. What are meditations? Meditations are the words formed from the word of God that you placed on your lips to remind yourself, to emphasize to yourself, to sharpen those words towards, to make them penetrate into your heart. What are meditations? That's when you talk the word of God so that your heart will hear it and imbibe it. For example, if I say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm telling myself I don't forget. I hope you're getting my point. Bola Ahmed Tinubu is not my shepherd. Peter Mbah is not my shepherd. That's a no good governor. The first one I mentioned, Nigerian president. I hope you're getting my point. They're not my shepherd. They are servants of God for my sake. God is the one that will make good come towards me. I keep on telling myself that. I hope you're getting my point. But if I say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I am commanding the forces of the environment to respond to that word. I have been convinced of it. I am now telling the trees around to bear fruit for me. Do you get my point? I'm saying to the economy, bear fruit for me. The same words, though, but one, for my sake. But another one, I am commanding. So I say to the rain, you will do me good. I say to the sun, you will do me good. I say to the earth, you will do me good. I say to the depths below, you will do good to me. I say in dry farming, my root will sink down and drag resources from the depth of the earth. I'm saying to the earth, open up. Let the hidden treasures God kept for me come out from there. I'm commanding things around me. Do you get my point? They're very similar. The same words. One directed at my soul. Soul, encourage yourself in the Lord. The Lord is your shepherd. Don't be afraid. The Lord is your shepherd. But I'm saying to that one, I shall not want. If you go to our website, two tracks. I wrote two tracks long ago. You know the title of the first one? The Lord is my shepherd. The track of the second one, I shall not want. Grab the two of them and read. We'll talk about that next time. Let's give the Lord thanks for today. If you have been blessed today, just say, Father, thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Just give the Lord thanks. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you for your beautiful word that has come to us today. Thank you, thank you, thank you.